So this is the translation for that verse. If there is a chance to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, a pure devotee sometimes accepts the Shalokya, Sarupya, Samipya, or Shasti forms of liberation, but never Sayujya. So I hope we have the second mic. Good. So I'm going to start with the ladies because I'd like to encourage them to speak, and then I'll ask the same question from the men. So what is, if you were to put this verse in your own words, just anything you hear from this, don't add to what Prabhupada is saying and don't take away, but just put Prabhupada's meaning, or at least the meaning of, I forget the name of the author of Chaitanya Charita. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, yes, thank you. My mind is very bad with details. If you could just put his meaning in your own words, if the ladies would like to go first, just something that you see in this verse. Go ahead, Jagat Prabhu. Okay.
Yeah, so I understand here to be saying that a devotee who has achieved already a very pure state of Krishna consciousness, if he gets the opportunity to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, then he may sometimes accept different forms or different different benedictions of the Lord, like Salokya, Sarupya, Samipya, or Shasti. So, but he would never accept this Sayujya, which means, I think, being one, merging into the Lord's effulgence.
Beautiful understanding. I'm going to put what Jagapriya said in my own words so that make sure that everyone can hear it. So she's saying, if someone is in pure consciousness, a devotee who's in pure consciousness, if the Lord offers him these different benedictions of Shalokya, Sarupya, Samipya, or Shasti, if he has an opportunity to serve Krishna as well as receiving these benedictions, he will accept it. But he will never accept the benediction of Sayujya, which is to merge with the form, with the Brahmajyoti, or the Lord form of the Lord. Did I understand you correctly?
Thank you.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Does anyone have an additional or different understanding? Would anyone like to add to that? Okay. Please, would you like to give Prabhu?
I'm wondering if Krishnadama Prabhu knew of this verse when he said he was a little puzzled at his verse that was on the same thing. I feel that the whole thing revolves around a pure devotee. And what is a pure devotee? And when I saw this, I was thinking of someone like Narad Muni, who has in the... There's a publication called the Puranic Encyclopedia, and one gentleman went through all the Puranas and listed where, everywhere where Duryodhana or something was mentioned, and there's seven different lifetimes of Narad Muni. So we say, well, he was the son of a maidservant and then he became Narad Muni, but there's a whole bunch of lifetimes. He has a lot of adventures, and I was thinking something like that, that what is beyond the remit of a pure devotee, that he can actually decide that he will take these different forms in order to perfect his service.
Thank you. May I reflect that back? So Smart Hari Prabhu, he's bringing out the meaning by giving the example, Jai Shishi Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai, Shishi Sitaram Lakshmi Hanuman Ki Jai, Shishi Gonitai Ki Jai, Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Smart Hari Prabhu is bringing out the meaning of this verse by giving the example of Narad Muni. He's saying, this is talking about a pure devotee who's free from all material desires, who has pure attraction for Krishna, like Narad. And Narad has at least seven different lifetimes. Even though he's pure, he's continuing to serve the Krishna lifetime after lifetime with many different adventures. Thank you so much, Prabhu. So I'm going to also ask some questions on this verse. One is, I've got actually two questions I want to ask on this verse. What are these different types of liberation? And I've got some evidences I want you to look at and give your answers from the evidences. Okay, so I'm going to give the evidence. I'm going to give you evidences to answer this question. Shalokya. What is Shalokya, Sarupya, Samipya, Shasti, and Sayujya? And my humble request is that you keep your comments directly to the evidence I'm giving you. So you just tell me in your own words what the Shastra is saying. Is that okay? So we just really keep connecting with Shastra constantly. So this is the question. What is Shalokya, Sarupya, Samipya, Shastya, and Sayujya? And I'm going to bring up an evidence. I'll read it aloud. Please read it with me. And then I'm going to start this time by asking the men if they can define any of these things from the evidence I give, and then ask the ladies if they can add. Okay. So this is the evidence. It's from a class Prabhupada gave in New York in 66. Now, after liberation, we merge into the existence of the Supreme. That is called Sayujya Mukti. Sarupya Mukti means the spiritual body becomes as the features of the spiritual body becomes just like the Supreme Lord, just like Narayan. Narayan has got four hands with Shankha, Chakra, Gada, Padma, and with the lotus flower, conch shell, club, and wheel. So everyone who takes that Sarupya Mukti becomes just like his feature of the body becomes just like the Lord. That is called Sarupya Mukti. Shalokya means one can get habitation, residence in the same planet where God is there. Shasti means to get the same opulence. As I have already explained, opulence, he gets all the opulences as the Lord has got. He becomes so as good as Lord, becomes so powerful. Samipya means he's always in the company of the Lord, just like Arjuna. Arjuna is always, whenever Lord takes his incarnation, Arjuna is there. Arjuna is there. Samipya. They are never separated. So I want people who have not spoken yet, both amongst the men and amongst the ladies, to participate. So we'll start with the men. Would any man like to begin to now define these things based on what we've just heard? If no one participates, there's not going to be much of a class. Thank you very much.
Salokya is to reside on the same planet as the Lord. And Sarupya is to attain the same body as Krishna.
Can you elaborate on that?
Prabhupada said that, you've got the evidence back up there, yeah?
Yeah.
Like Narayan, you know, he has the Shankha Chakra Gada Padma,
yes.
Four arms. So you all have four arms. I don't think you all have the four symbols.
He says you're going to have the four symbols too.
Okay, well,
and the Vishnu Dutas do, don't they? They're holding the four symbols.
Are they? Okay. That's a good question. I can't remember. Anyway, at least you all have four arms. Sarshti is you become as opulent as the Lord. So Prabhupada says, you know, you become as powerful. You become very, very powerful. Almost it says as good as him. So, yeah. And Sayujya is to merge and become one with God. So two types of Sayujya, either you merge with him or, you know, you enter the Brahman. And Samipya is to always be in his company. It gives the example of Arjuna.
Very
so
nice.
He never separated.
I really like the fact that Prabhupada gave the example of Arjuna, because when I was reading this, I was thinking, I wonder if there's any examples in the Bhagavatam of these different personalities, and Prabhupada gives us an example. And if it wasn't that I have so much I want to share with you on the next verse, I would actually spend some time trying to think of examples from the Bhagavatam on the others. But I'm going to move on for now because there are other things I'd like to bring out from these two verses. So then I have another question on this verse, and I'd like it to go to the ladies. Any lady willing to participate? Actually, I just would like to make a little comment. For learning to take place, for assimilation to take place, for hearing to actually happen, it requires repeating. If we hear without repeating, assimilation doesn't happen. And this isn't my verdict, this is Prabhupada's verdict. On my website, I have many quotes from Prabhupada, where he says, for anything for you to learn, you have to hear, but then you have to repeat. So this is why I humbly urge you, please don't remain passive, participate and repeat. I've found some evidences, you just have to connect with the evidences and repeat what you're seeing. So this is my question, and is the mic with the ladies now? I think the Mataji who's sitting with her mother, she said she would like to participate. So this is my question to you. From the evidences that I'm going to show you, when would there not be a chance of serving the Supreme Lord for one who's living on his planet? Because the verse says, if there is a chance, if there is a chance to serve the Lord, he will accept one of these liberations, which to me suggests if there isn't a chance, he wouldn't accept one of those liberations. Would you agree with that? Yeah, should we just look at that again? It says, if there is a chance, yeah, that means there may not be a chance. So my question is, under what circumstances wouldn't there be a chance to serve the Lord if you're living on his same planet as him? If you've got the same form as him, if you're obviously liberated, you know, if you've got the same opulences as him, if you're always with him, under what circumstances wouldn't there be a chance to serve him? So you don't have to guess. I'm actually going to bring up some evidences. But what I'd like you to do, Mataji, is look at the evidences and see if you can get the answer from the evidence. Is that okay? We're going to read two different evidences. And everyone else, too, be thinking of the answers to this question from the evidence. You know, there's that very famous verse, maybe Govinda can help me. Gyane prayasam. So the English, go ahead, say it nice. I can't repeat the Sanskrit. So which part of the Sanskrit says giving up speculation? Gyane prayasam, that means give up speculation. Udupasam, give it up. So we have to hear and we have to discuss without speculation. Without speculation. That means for everything we say, we have to be bringing out the meanings of Shastra. There's no point sitting here and saying, I think this, I think that, in my opinion this. But we have to take a Shastra and we have to say, this is what I understand the Shastra is saying. Okay? Then our hearing and chanting will actually begin to actually be effective. So this is the question. On what occasion would there not be a chance to serve the Lord if you have one of these four types of acceptable liberations? So let's look at these evidence. So this is the first evidence I'm going to give you. Although in Shanta Ras there is attachment for Krishna in awe and veneration, since the two valuable transcendental qualities of this rasa are attachment for Krishna and detachment from material desires, nonetheless the sense of intimacy is lacking. The reason for this is that in Shanta Ras, attachment for impersonal Brahman and localized Paramatma is prominent. However, when this knowledge is further developed, one is convinced that the Paramatma, the Supreme Lord, is the master, and that the living entity is his eternal servant. One then attains the platform of Dasya Ras. In Dasya Ras, the Lord is accepted with awe and veneration. Thus, the active service that is absent in Shanta Ras becomes prominent in Dasya Ras. In other words, in Dasya Ras, the qualities of Shanta Ras are present, and service also becomes predominantly visible. Now, we could actually spend a lot of time just on these quotes. But I want you to pay attention especially to what I've put in red. Because the red part is going to give you the answer to the question. So what is the red part saying, Mataji? You can read it to yourself. What is that part saying to you? Try to put it in your own words. Okay, you think about it, and I'm going to get one of the men to try. What is go ahead.
Sorry, I can't read Sanskrit.
Shall I read the red part again?
My understanding of Hinduism, Hinduism, I just believe when we are not ready to serve the God is if we have any duties in the current world that we have to complete, that take our all energy and time.
Okay, that's a very nice answer. But I'm just going to ask everyone to keep their answer to what the verse is saying. That's a very nice realization that's coming from your heart. But just because we have very little time, I'm going to ask everyone to keep their answer to what's on the evidences. So one of the men try. And the other ladies, please think about it. Ladies, don't be passive. What is the red part saying? Specifically, I've highlighted that. Please, one of the men join in. Someone who's not spoken. Would you like me to pick you out? Oh, go ahead. Please go ahead.
The first one talks about Santaras. And the two characteristics of Santaras is attachment for Krishna and detachment.
So the two characteristics of Santaras are detachment from?
Material desires
and attraction to Krishna.
Yeah.
What's lacking in Santaras?
Intimacy.
Fantastic. And there's something else which is lacking. Well, what is there in Dasiras that's not there in Santaras?
I think it's the realization of the supreme, the personality of Godhead. Right.
I'm going to read this part aloud for you. Thus, the active service that is absent in Santaras becomes prominent in Dasiras. Where do you take from that? What's Sankirtan Priya Prabhu is saying servitude, the service attitude. The service is that. Remember, the question we're trying to answer is when wouldn't there be an opportunity to serve Krishna if you've got one of these four? So now we've learned something that we can have Santaras where we have no material desires and we're attracted to Krishna, but we don't have a service attitude. That comes in Dasyaras. So I'm going to share one more evidence with you, and then we're going to answer the question. So, ladies, I will turn to you first. Please think actively, participate. So this is another evidence to try to answer the question, and specifically we're going to focus on the red part. Goloka Vrindavan is the highest planet in the spiritual world. In order to go to the spiritual world, after penetrating the covering of the material universe, one must penetrate Brahma Loka, the spiritual effulgence. Then one can come to the Goloka Vrindavan planet. There are also other planets in the spiritual world called Vaikuntha planets. And on these planets, Lord Narayan is worshipped with awe and veneration. On these planets, Santaras is prevalent, and some of the devotees are also connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Dasyaras, the mellow of servitorship. I'm actually going to pause there. So ladies, what are most of the residents of Vaikuntha Loka? What does that red part say to you? I don't know if everyone's got an initiate. Mani Manjari, go ahead. Is there something we can give her? Thank you.
That's my understanding that in some of the planets of Vaikuntha Loka, there is like no Satya, Santaras, but they don't have devotional service. But then in Goloka Vrindavan, there is Dasya Ras, and they have devotional service.
Okay, so what you're saying is that some people in Vaikuntha, they're liberated, but they don't yet have an attitude of devotional service. But everyone in Goloka does.
Yes.
So that's fantastic. Does anyone else get anything else? I really like that. You were really hearing the evidence. Any of the men would like to add anything to what Mani Manjari said? I hope I'm getting everyone's names right. Anyone else see anything else in this evidence?
Yes.
If you do, please don't be shy. Go ahead, Prabhu.
The aspect here is that in the Vaikuntha planets, Lord Narayan is worshipped in awe and reverence, whereas in Goloka Vrindavan and the inner circles, it's out of love.
Okay, so you're saying in Vrindavan is awe and reverence, but in Goloka it's without. Go ahead, Jagat Priya. I can also. Okay. I'm so sorry about that.
No, not the seeing. I can't see what devotees are saying.
Okay.
It's Goloka Vrindavan. So I understand also that. So in the Vaikuntha planets, the Lord is worshipped in this.
Sorry, I don't know what I did. Let me just go back. What did I do?
The Lord is worshipped in the Santyaras. But then there's written, and some of the devotees are also connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Dasyaras.
Yes.
So for me, that sentence sounds like it is also happening in Vaikuntha. Dasyaras is also there.
Yes, Dasyaras is also there in Vaikuntha. Okay, the bit I wanted everyone to pick out on is this. On these planets, he's talking about Vaikuntha planets, on these planets, Shantaras is prevalent. What does prevalent mean? More than. Most of it is prevalent. Of course, some are also connected in Dasyaras. So what does that tell us about Vaikuntha, the Vaikuntha planets? There are some who are doing Dasya, and if we read the whole evidence that I've got there, there's some who are also in friendship. But what are the majority of liberated souls in Vaikuntha? What are the majority? Which ras are they in? Shantaras, yes. So now, can we answer the question that why, on what circumstances can one achieve Samipya, Shasti, Shalokya, Sarupya, and not have an opportunity to serve Krishna? Based on these two evidences, how would you deduce? Please, Ram Lakshman.
Forgive me for my misunderstanding, but I think based on all the evidences that you shared, so the chance of not being in Dasya Ras in Goloka Dham happens when you're the Vaikuntha planets in the Shanti Ras.
I think what you're saying, I'm going to try and reflect back what you're saying. Your words were the chance of not being in Dasya Ras but being in Shanti Ras in Vaikuntha planets. So I'm thinking what you're saying is they won't accept liberation if they're going to be in Shantaras. Is that what you meant?
No, I think to answer your question, I think your question was on what chance would one not
accept liberation
of being having the same form, so on and so on, but not wanting to serve the Lord. And my understanding is that if they would want to, if they serve the Lord in awe and reverence.
Okay, you're saying if they serve the Lord in awe and reverence, they don't want to serve the Lord in awe and reverence. They want to serve him with intimacy. Did I understand you correctly?
Yes, then they will
accept those liberations.
Yes.
Yeah. Fantastic, thank you. That's a really nice answer. Does anyone have a different or additional answer? Does everyone agree? Okay, does everyone agree with Ram Lakshman? Would everyone have said exactly the same thing? Okay, Krishna Dharmaprabhu has got a different answer. But it's a valid answer because you're basing it on Shastra, but we're going to see if there's a different answer.
I would understand that Shantaras is prevalent, so if you're in Shantaras, you don't have that mood of service. It's missing. So you're just admiring God. You can be in Dasyaras and have, you know, it's all Aishwarya Bhava. They all have awe and reverence in Vaikuntha. So you can serve with awe and reverence. That's okay. But if you're in Shantaras, and most of them are, then you don't have that mood. You're just overwhelmed by the greatness, the beauty, the, you know.
Fantastic. You're going along the lines I would have. Now, can you use that to answer the question on what, when wouldn't a devotee accept Samipya, Shasti, Shalokya, Sarupya?
if there's no opportunity to serve.
So if they're in Shantaras.
Yeah, if it's just Shantaras, yes. They're not interested.
If they're in Shantaras, they don't want to accept liberation yet. So would everyone agree with that? You have to speak a little louder because I'm a little deaf. Yeah. Well, no, Sarupya. They naturally don't accept Sarupya. But Shantaras is something that we will attain as part of our development. Shantaras is characterized by freedom from material desires and attraction to Krishna. So that is something we will achieve as we're progressing. It's a stage of development as we're progressing. And Dasyaras, something is added to that as we progress. So I'm going to move on now, because I actually had two verses to discuss today. We could have spent the whole time on that one verse, but let's see if we can do something with this verse. I'll just read the English to the verse. A pure devotee does not like even to hear about Sayujya Mukti, which inspires him with fear and hatred. Indeed, the pure devotee would rather go to hell than merge into the effulgence of the Lord. Okay, so someone, ladies who've not spoken. Abby, you've not spoken. Would you put something that you hear from this? Try not to add to what Prabhupada is saying or take away. Just try to say something the verse is saying in your own words.
Okay, so I understand that. He's saying that a devotee who's reached the perfectional stage, he doesn't even want to kind of be in contact with this this idea of the liberation, which means to merge with the Supreme Lord, because it gives him many negative feelings, very strong fear, hatred, these horrible feelings. And he'd actually prefer to be in hell than to achieve this kind of liberation.
Wow, fantastic. So that's a really nice putting it in your own words. You're saying a devotee who's achieved the perfectional stage of pure devotion, he doesn't even like to think. You said he doesn't even like to have contact, so he doesn't even like to think about merging with Krishna's Brahman. He would prefer to go to hell than to merge. That's horrible. Did I understand you correctly?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, so I'd like to ask everyone here a question. If right now Lord Narayan came and stood before you and said, my dear devotee, you never have to take birth again. You can become free from birth, death, old age and disease, adhyatmic, adhibhotic, adhidevic. All your problems will be finished and you can enjoy Brahmananda forever and ever. But you won't, you can even come to my planet. I'll give you a form just like mine. I will give you opulence just like mine. But you won't be allowed to serve me. Or you can go down to the hellish, you can go to Afghanistan. You can go there and preach. Which would you prefer? An honest answer, please. Which would you choose? Which lady, what would you choose? Would you choose, especially as a woman, be really hell as a woman. You can go to Afghanistan now, or you can get a form just like Krishna's in the spiritual world, but not serve him. What would you choose? Let me see. Go ahead. I forget everyone's names. Amrita, please go ahead. What would you choose?
Hare Krishna. Yeah, it's quite a difficult question. I was wondering if I could go to Vaikuntha planet, but then if I could, after some time, progress and serve.
You're saying it's hard. You'd prefer to go to the Vaikuntha planets than go to Afghanistan, but you're hoping that from the Vaikuntha planets you could continue to progress. I know I'd choose the Vaikuntha planets right now. What would you choose?
After some time in that kind of liberation of Shantaras, we won't be able to develop if we've got more feelings, it'll be more difficult. So I think in the long term, it would be better to go to Afghanistan because then we can actually develop our wrestle with the Lord. Whereas if we stay in the spiritual world, then we want to develop it and may have to come back again to develop it further like that.
Yeah, you're saying it's not going to be really easy to develop it in the Vaikuntha plan. It's better to go to Afghanistan. But can I ask you a question? If you were asked that question right now, what would you actually choose?
Yeah, I'd go to the spiritual world.
So yeah, me too, actually. I'm just being honest. I'm going to move on a little bit, but I will get you involved. I just want everyone thinking about it. Are we, you know, what would we choose right now? We hear what the CC says the pure devotee would choose. He'd prefer to go to hell. And I compare myself to that person. I think, that's not me. I'd prefer to get Shasti, you know, or Samipya or something. I wouldn't prefer to go to hell. But let's carry on and see. I've got a few more evidences. So this is the purport from that verse, okay? So this is the purport to verse 268. Srila Prabhupadananda Sarasvati has sung, Kevalyam Narakayate, the impersonalist conception of becoming one with the effulgence of the Lord. Jai Shishi Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai, Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai, Shishi Gonitai Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Thank you. Srila Prabhupadananda Sarasvati has sung Kevalyam Narakayate, the impersonalist conception of becoming one with the effulgence of the Lord is exactly like hell. Therefore, the five types of liberation, the first four, Shalokya, Samipya, Sarupya, and Shasti, are not so desirable because they can be are not so undesirable because they can be avenues of service to the Lord. Nonetheless, a pure devotee of Lord Krishna rejects even these types of liberation. He aspires only to serve Krishna birth after birth. He is not interested in stopping the repetition of birth, for he simply desires to serve the Lord, even in hellish circumstances. Consequently, the pure devotee hates and fears Sayuja Mukti, merging into the effulgence of the Lord. This merging is due to an offense committed against the transcendental loving service of the Lord, and therefore it is not at all desirable for a pure devotee. So I'd like people who have not yet spoken, please start speaking. You know, Prabhupada says that the class, the morning class, shouldn't just be a matter of routine. He said it should be routine, but it should also be an opportunity for us to learn something. And learning doesn't take place unless we personally interact with it. Otherwise, it just kind of bounces off. We go out and... But we're meant to actually assimilate something from what we're reading, and that happens by engaging with the subject matter. So one of the ladies who hasn't yet spoken, I'm going to ask you to tell me something. Please put up your hand. Go ahead, Matej. Something from what we've just read there. Just in your own words, tell me the sentence or the section, and then in your own words, put what Prabhupada is saying.
Hare Krishna, I think the main point is the comparison of Sayuja Mukti in particular. So that's compared to hellish existence. Because if you lose your personality, then there's no question of serving the Lord personally. So that particular point is what makes it worse than the hellish conditions of service.
That was very nice understanding. Thank you. You're saying one key point that kind of stands out from this is why Sayuja Mukti is considered so hellish by a devotee, because it doesn't provide any opportunity for service whatsoever. There's no chance of service, and therefore a devotee considers it hellish, because you lose your personality, you said. You lose your personality, and without personality, there's no question of service. Did I understand you correctly?
Yes, Mataji.
Fantastic. Did you want to add anything else that you see?
No, I think I've said it.
Fantastic. Any of the men, do you see something? Go ahead. You know, Ram Lakshman, you've spoken, so I will come back to you, but I want to make sure everyone says something. Go ahead, Prabhu, Sudapa Prabhu.
In the line in red, it's basically explaining that for a pure devotee, the beauty of serving Krishna, the attraction to serve Krishna, is much greater than the fear of samsara or birth and death. So the happiness of the spiritual connection is much more, trumps the fear of any danger or difficulty in the material world.
Wow, thank you. You're really picking up. Sutapa Prabhu focused in on the section I put in red. He's saying, a mature, advanced, pure devotee, the pleasure he gets from service to Krishna, the spiritual connection, use the word, spiritual connection, the pleasure he gets from that spiritual connection with Krishna that comes through serving him, trumps the fear of taking birth again. You know, he doesn't worry about taking birth again because by taking birth, if he gets to serve Krishna, he's got that spiritual connection, which gives him so much more pleasure than anything else. Did I understand you correctly? Go ahead, Prabhu. Prayojan Prabhu. Did you want to say something? Did you put your hand up?
Yes. It's to do with Shastri, where you get the same opulences as the Lord. And that's an interesting one because that's like trying to be a Mayavadi. You know, I'm the Lord. And that's an aspiration there, if you go for that. So there's an absence of service. And I remember Mahavishnu Goswami said to me once, the elderly Mahavishnu Goswami, not the Swami, he said, service is life. No service is death.
So you're bringing up some really nice points. The reason I ask everyone to stick to the Shastra is because there's many things we may have heard or we may think which may not be supported by Shastra. And though I think your rumination on it, that why would someone accept Shastra? It must be Mayavadi, it must be they want to be Krishna. That's not necessarily supported by Shastra. So just for the purpose of this discussion, I'd like to keep our comments to what is actually there in Shastra, and I'm bringing the evidences up so we can answer the questions based directly on some Shastra.
Yeah, but this is Shikshastaka. Shikshastaka says, yeah. I want to serve you wherever it is, life after life.
That's true. Yes, this is the mood of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's teaching us to go for service. Yeah. The only point, and I like that you brought in Shikshastaka, that's very nice. He doesn't even want liberation. But just the point that it may be my body, I'm not sure. And unless I could get Shastra, I would put that as, and I'm not sure. But I would like to move on. Thank you so much. So in the purport, Prabhupada started it off by referring to a song by Srila Prabhupada Sarasvati. So my first question was, what is this song he's referring to? And here is a lecture where Prabhupada answers the question. I'm going to read the lecture, and then I'm going to ask one of the ladies who's not spoken yet to tell me the name of the song. And it comes from this evidence. Okay? So in the verse, Prabhupada referred to a song by Srila Prabhupada Sarasvati, and this is an evidence which contains the answer to the question, what is the song? Prabhupada Sarasvati, he has made one poetry, Kaivalyam Narakayate, Chaitanya Chandramrita, verse 5. Kaivalya means to merge into the Brahman existence, no difference, oneness. That is called Kaivalya. So for a Vaishnav, this Kaivalya is as good as the hell. Prabhupada Sarasvati says, Kaivalya Narakayate. This Kaivalya, no Vaishnav will say, now I'm going to merge into the existence. No, because they hate it as hell. So what is the name of the song where Prabhupada compares merging with hell? It's up there. One of the ladies? Abby? Yeah? Can you see it?
Kaivalyam Narakaya.
That's the line in the verse, and it comes from a song he's written. I put it in red. What's the name of the song?
Chaitanya Chandramrita.
Yes, Chaitanya Chandramrita. And what verse in the song is it?
Verse 5.
Fantastic. So, because I want to go through the purport and pick up on the things Prabhupada says. Prabhupada refers to a song. What is this song? Okay, so now I'm going to ask another question on this purport. And I've got the evidence from the purport there. Why would the pure devotee rather go to hell than merge with Krishna? And I've got the answer right there. One of the male devotees, someone who's not spoken. Who's not spoken? Govinda, you suggest. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, why would a devotee rather go to hell than merge with Krishna? Because the pure devotee can serve in hell, whereas if the pure devotee merges, the pure devotee can't serve. So
it's not working that, but I'll say what you said aloud. Okay, now say it again. Say it again.
The pure devotee can serve in hell, but the pure devotee can't serve if he merges with Krishna.
Yes. So
his service attitude trumps his desire to be.
Yes, this is the same point that Sutapa proved. Because the reason he would rather go to hell is because in hell he can still do some service. He can still chant Hare Krishna to the fallen souls, give them maybe prasadam, remind them of Krishna. But he can't do any service when he's merged in Brahman. So that Prabhupada makes that point in 268, which Govinda puts so nicely in his own words. This is what Prabhupada wrote. He's not very interested in stopping the repetition of birth and death, for he simply desires to serve the Lord, even in hellish circumstances. So Govinda put that nicely in his own words. So I've already asked you this question. Do these apply to us? I mean, if we were to ask ourselves, would I prefer to go to hell and serve than to go to Vaikuntha and have Samipya? I've already asked this question, and it's for each of us to ask that question of ourselves. I know the answer for me is, right now, at this stage of my development, I'd go to Vaikuntha. No questions asked. There's no way I would want to go to hell. But I'm intrigued by the fact that there are devotees like Ashila Prabhupada who would prefer to go to hell than even stay in Vrindavan. I want to know, how can I one day, I'm not there right now, how can I one day be able to answer this question differently? How can I one day, hand on heart, and say, Krishna, I'll go to hell for you, but I won't accept Shasti even if I can't serve you? How can I get to that point? And before I show you evidences answering that question, I'll just take a brief comment from the ladies, if they want, and the men. How would you answer that question? How can we go from where I am for choosing Vaikuntha any day to Afghanistan, to choosing Afghanistan any day that are not serving Krishna? What is the method of changing from what I am to this higher level? A male devotee who's not spoken yet can go first. Okay, Govinda, I know you spoke, but let's this Prabhu, because he's not spoken. The Prabhu over there. What is the process for changing myself?
What's the aim we have in doing praying and all sort of thing? If we are aim to come out of this material world and come out from all the pains that we have, that's our aim, then we may prefer to go to Vaikuntha or wherever. But if we get the fulfillment by serving the Lord, that we don't even feel that we are in hellish circumstances, because yes, we are so attached to the goal.
Very nice. My question is, how can I go from wanting liberation to being so attached to Krishna that I don't care about liberation? Prabhu behind you. Answer that specific question. How can I change from being, as Prabhu said, wanting to go liberation to being so attached to Krishna that I don't care about liberation? Prabhu, answer that question.
I think the more we hear about Krishna.
Wow, what is your name?
Pada.
Pada. the more we hear about Krishna. You know what? You just hit it, because I've got evidences. So we're going to move straight into the evidences that support your light. That is what Prabhupada says, the more we hear. And that's why hearing is really important. So, how is it, Sandhu? Okay, we're going to go straight to the evidences. Pani, you've got it. Do you want to read these evidences? Can you see the board? If you can't, I'll read it. Okay. So, simply our eagerness is the perfection for serving Krishna. That's what the other Prabhu was saying, the attachment, I want to serve Krishna. So, simply our eagerness is the perfection for serving Krishna. Increase that eagerness. And eagerness means if you love Krishna, that eagerness will increase with your increase of love. How shall I serve Krishna? Because you're a voluntary servant. Nobody is forcing. That means unless you love Krishna, how that eagerness will increase. Without being a devotee, how with faith and adherence and reverence and obedience you can serve unless you love Krishna? We're going to get to what you said. So, I forgot I had this. This is a stage we have to get to. We have to, like Prabhu was saying, I forget your, I don't know your name, Prabhu. You.
Gopal.
Gopal Prabhu was saying, it's our aim. He was saying this point, that we have to be so attached to Krishna, so attached to Krishna that we just want to serve Him. We don't want anything else. So that's what Prabhu was saying. We have to love Krishna. We have to love Krishna so much. How we get to love Krishna so much is what Gopal answered. And I'm going to go to the next verse. How we can learn to love Krishna so much. This is an evidence from an address lecture Prabhupada gave in London. So Prabhupada says, that is stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that love for Krishna is existing in everyone's heart, but it is awakened by simply hearing about Krishna. You hear about Krishna. The more you hear about Krishna, Shrimbatam Swakata Krishna, Punya Shravana Kirtana. So actually both Gopal and Pada made the right answers. Gopal said, it's your intention. If you're very attracted to Krishna, then you will want to serve Him. And Prabhupada says that. You have to love Him very much. How do we get that love? Pada said it. You have to hear about Him. The more we hear about Him. So there's a few more evidences. This is another evidence from Journey of Self-Discovery. So this Krishna consciousness movement is simply meant for awakening that dormant love by giving everyone the chance to hear about Krishna. This is the process. So thank you so much for both of your lights. You both gave just completely in line with the evidences I was going to share. So, you know, the way I see it, everyone in this room, we're at different levels. Though we're maybe sadhakas, we're all in the same movement, chanting the same mantra, but we're all at different levels. And we have to, each of us, act at a level which is appropriate for me. If I have so much attachment for Krishna that I don't become distressed by austerities, by, you know, difficulties, I can focus on service. We still have to hear, but the focus can be on service. And if we become distressed, disturbed by the austerities, by the difficulties, we get into like, you know, he didn't look at me, she didn't say horrible. I'm talking about myself, I get really mental. So we have to know that about ourselves, and we have to take the medicine at our level. Like I know at my level, I couldn't do what Govinda or Sutapa Prabhu's or, you know, Jagapriya Prabhu's or so many of you in this room do. I just couldn't serve at that level. I have to take the medicine at my level, and I have to focus on the hearing. And each of us, if we want to succeed, we have to know what I need and work from where I am so that I can realistically progress. We can't imitate someone who has a higher level of attraction, but cultivate that attraction by doing the amount of hearing I need to gradually come to that point. So I do have more things I'd like to say, but I'm actually going to pause and give a chance for you to bring in your comments now, or your questions, or your observations, or disagreements, or whatever it is you'd like to say. And I think we'd like to pass the mic to Govinda Prabhu. Thank you very much, everyone, for participating.
Thank you for your stimulating class. And my question is, when we look at all the evidences of Salokya, Sarshti, Samipya, Sarupya, they always seem to be referring to Vaikuntha. And I'm wondering, does Prabhupada ever refer to Salokya and Samipya and Vrindavan? Or, I mean, are we supposed to assume that when we see these four things, it automatically refers to Vaikuntha or not? And can you have Sarshti and Sarupya in Goloka Vrindavan?
So you're asking a very nice question, which I personally can't answer because I don't have any evidence, but I will say the question aloud. You're saying, whenever we hear of these four types of liberation, Salokya, Sarupya, Samipya, Shasti, it always refers, it seems to refer always to Vaikuntha. But can they not exist in Goloka? Can one not have Samipya, always being with Krishna, or Shasti, Sarupya, in Goloka? Did I understand you correctly? So, Govinda Prabhu, I know you're very learned. You know Shastra very well. Do you know anything from Shastra that might throw some light on your question?
No, it was actually purely genuine question that I have no answer for.
Okay. Prayojan Prabhu?
Even the flowers love Krishna, though they're on Chanti, Chantiras. Do they actually, they have a relationship as a flower?
Very nice.
And to be smelt by Krishna.
Yes, very
nice. If that's his pleasure, you know. So, seemingly, Chanti Ras is a flower, but that's their expression of pleasing Krishna. Is what they are, a flower.
Very nice line, and I love the way you supported it by very nice evidence from Prabhupada's lectures. So you say, well, at least we know Shantaras exists because Prabhupada says the flowers are a Shantaras, but they serve Krishna like that. And I've heard Prabhupada say, the moon, the sun, the sky, the trees, they're all in Shantaras, and they serve Krishna in those different ways. So Shantaras exists. We know that Shalokya exists because they're on the same planet as Krishna. So maybe the other forms of liberation also exist. Are you initiated now, Prabhu, or do I call you? I don't know. Some people may have taken initiation since I last saw them. So did you want to speak? Oh, you haven't. Okay, then. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, so it's very nice. Thank you for the nice class. Very stimulating and makes us want to engage, even if we are unwilling to do so. So my comment, or maybe there's a question in there as well, is that so by hearing about Krishna, then we develop attraction and gradually come to the point of maybe one day we can become a pure devotee. But when I think, I've been hearing about Krishna for the last 3.5 years, and I'm wondering where do I stand, you know, in terms of my purity and my attraction for Krishna. So I'm surprised. The other part, for me, there are two parts. So one is hearing, and the other is to meditate, to think about Krishna as well. So I'm hearing, but am I thinking about Krishna? And because I noticed that even when I get absorbed, like in this class, when I leave, the material energy comes, and I get carried away by the waves, and the mind is everywhere. And then I fail to think. Well, for me, it's very critical to think about Krishna, to hear, to cultivate the mind, to think about Krishna. And that, for me, is maybe my way out of my miseries.
Very nice. I knew Prabhu from when he was first visiting, and yet my mind is, I've got such a bad memory. Remind me of your name, Prabhu.
Cyrus.
Cyrus, that's right, Cyrus, Prabhu. Thank you. So, Cyrus, you're raising a very nice point. You're saying that in this evidences we shared, we talked about the importance of hearing. But you said you've been hearing for 3.5 years now, but you still find it difficult to remember Krishna. Should the focus not be on remembering Krishna? You know, how can we cultivate remembrance of Krishna? Did I understand you correctly? Very nice. I always do this when I discuss with my husband. Since you raised the question, I'm going to first ask you if any light has come to you, if you can think of any way to increase your remembrance of the Lord. Does you have a light on your own question?
For me, what helps me to remain focused on Krishna is to think of Krishna as he's a supreme living entity and he's the greatest. And then I'm subordinate. So that kind of put me into this situation to think of him as my helper, as my deliverer. That kind of mood. Because I'm very much helpless in material existence. So I look at Krishna as the great source of everything, and this is the cause of all causes. And so, and from him comes my deliverance. I think like this.
So you're saying, you tend to help you remember Krishna, because you're in a fearful condition of life, we're in a helpless condition of life. Sometimes we can feel fearful. So you tend to always try to think of Krishna as your protector. He's the Supreme Lord. He can give you protection. He's your helper. He's your friend. So when there's any fear or sense of helplessness or anxiety, you try to think, oh, Krishna's my protector. Krishna's my friend. I can, and like that, you try to increase your remembrance of him. Yeah? Very nice. I just would like to add to Cyrus's question. Prabhupada says, of all the 9 angas of bhakti, Shravanam is the first. So Shravanam, if it's not done correctly, there is an evidence where Prabhupada says we won't be able to do the other angas of bhakti correctly. And the way that Shravanam induces manmanabhava, this remembrance of Krishna, is if we try to repeat what we're hearing in our own words. If we just sit, we're not remembering Krishna in class. If you're not remembering Krishna in class, you're not going to remember Krishna when you're doing other things. You know, this is the time when we're talking about Krishna. If you're falling asleep during class, it's very likely that when you're in difficulty, you're going to find it hard to remember Krishna. So at least for myself, I know I forget Krishna all the time, but at least when I come to do my hearing, I try at least then, let me think of what, because when we think of what the Gita is saying, when we think of what the Bhagavatam is saying, we're actually thinking of Krishna. And the way you can force yourself to really think is to think, can I put this in my own words? Because that forces your mind to really have to engage with the matter. If you don't put it in your own words, it just becomes, we become a slogan religion. The absolute truth, chanting Hare Krishna, be happy, Prabhu, you're on the mental platform. But we haven't thought, what does that mean, absolute truth? What does that mean, mental platform? What does it mean? Can I put that in my own words? But if we try to do that, that manmana, that real engagements of our mind, of our intelligence with Krishna, begins. And I have to say for myself, I'm just at that stage, I'm just trying to remember Krishna, at least during the time of my hearing. I don't know if anyone else would like to make any other comments. Whoever, if you want me to stop, you're going to have to tell me when to stop. Sorry, Smara Hari Prabhu, I know you're the elder, but I'm sure you would want to encourage Prabhu as well. Because he did it earlier, and I'll bring it to you right after, please.
Krishna, thank you. I just wanted to comment on that based on actually what you mentioned, so it's very similar, where oftentimes we can just listen and just listen for the sake of listening and not actually try and focus on what we're listening on. And what we really should be doing is trying to listen to actually understand what we're reading or listening to.
Thanks.
And I think, personally speaking, like what's really helped is trying to understand that, okay, what we're listening is to try and connect to Krishna. Like, sure, we can just listen mindlessly and that has its own potency because it's Shastra at the end of the day. It's from Srila Prabhupada. But if we're trying to listen to actually understand everything, then we can actually start meditating on that just naturally, just out of the natural way the brain works.
Yes.
So it's just something like that.
I see we're like-minded souls. Very nice. I really like Prabhu's light. I know it's on the microphone, but I liked it so much I'm going to have to repeat it. He's saying one of the ways that we can remember when we're hearing is to hear with the intention of understanding rather than just to hear passively for the purpose of hearing. If we're hearing with the intention of understanding, that really makes us focus on what we're hearing. I couldn't agree more, Prabhu. Thank you so much for your contribution. It's Smarahari, Prabhu.
I have to make an announcement where we must...
Is this after Smarahari or before?
We have to stop the gas so we can clean the public and let them in.
Okay.
So it's a practical thing.
Of course. Smarahari, you're the last person, and then we have to stop the class.
It was a very wonderful class. I'm so happy I'm here.
Thank you for coming, Prabhu.
In your presence. My question is, are you suggesting that the quality of one's hearing determines one's final rasa? Because,
okay.
Because presumably the people who are in shantaras, who in neutrality are just admiring Krishna without any attempt at the intimacy of relationship, presumably they heard also that took them to that position. So my question is, what is it that determines from the standpoint of hearing, what is it that determines one's relationship?
Wow, that's a really nice question. So you're saying, would I deduce, I wasn't presuming, but you did say, am I presuming, am I suggesting, but you're saying, could we deduce, I'm going to put it that way, could we deduce from the evidences we looked at that our ultimate destination is determined by the quality of our hearing during our years as sadhakas? Because you're saying, you made a very nice point, even those who achieved sayujya, they must have done some hearing. So what's the difference between the hearing those devotees did and the hearing of those devotees who end up like Arjuna or a Goloka? Was it the quality of their hearing? And you're asking, have I come to some kind of have I come to some conclusion based on those evidences? Well, that's a really nice question. I personally haven't come to a conclusion, but I would love to hear your light on that.
No, I just thought of the question.
Okay. I just would like to say one thing on that. First, is that you can get to Suyuja as well as through Bhakti, through Sankhya and Ashtanga Yoga. Sankhya, the practice is Ashtanga. We were just reading an evidence where Prabhupada says the Sankhya is before Ashtanga. So you can get to Suyuja through Ashtanga Yoga as well, when they achieve Samadhi, which is what Krishna explains in the 6th chapter of the Gita, you know. But I do also think there is something to do with our quality of hearing. This is why Prabhupada constantly stresses you must hear from the topmost bhakta, because it is possible to hear from bhaktas who have no attraction for Maya and have attraction for Krishna, but whose bhava is not that service to Krishna. We hear from them, then our mood will be liberation, is it? That's all I want, liberation. So it is very important, in my view, that all of us sadhakas really very scrutinizingly hear from Prabhupada. Because if we're very carefully hearing from Prabhupada, then the overwhelming message is this, that love for Krishna is more important than liberation. But if we hear from devotees, and there are even in our ISKCON, but not all the same, who emphasize liberation, then that may become our mood. So I think, even though I hadn't thought about it, Prabhu, I think there is something to be said for your suggestion.
The Shantaras people, the Shantaras, those situated in Shantaras have simply heard from the wrong people.
Maybe. Or maybe they've not heard well enough. Because it's the two things. Prabhupada gives the example of the husband being potent and the wife being fertile. So if we don't hear properly, if we hear just kind of superficially half hearing, half not hearing. Even though we're hearing from the right person, we may take the wrong message. So it takes two. It takes the potent husband and it takes the fertile wife. The person like Prabhupada who's speaking and the actually attentively hearing and scrutinizing and thinking about receptor. So if either of those things is going wrong, yes, you're right, I think. Thank you so much for allowing me to be here with you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.